three boards, the Board of County Commissioners, the Rural Healthcare District Board, and the Sublette Center Board. Just a couple of brief comments. No action will be taken today. As the Board of County Commissioners, if we take any action, it needs to be done in an open session in which we're officially meeting as a board. Comments will be limited from the board members today. Mark, I'm going to turn the time over to you. He has a microphone, so...
I've been told my voice is a little bit soft when I talk, and that's typical of me. I kind of speak softly in a lot of ways, so I'll use a microphone. If it gets too much, I'll set it down. You just let me know how to go about it. The meeting is being turned over to me. I think the county commissioners have hired me on, and I got a few questions from Laura that I'll probably just address up front to kind of let you know who I am, what I'm about, and so the first question, what is the goal of this meeting? And I think the goal is the same as everybody here. We want to try and get into a better financial reimbursement model for the community. Concerns in that are, you know, Sublette County are broad-based with the commissioners. The healthcare board is with the healthcare district, and the differences between Marbleton Clinic and Pinedale, and the distance between that, and how do we maximize our reimbursement and maintain as many services as possible. So that's kind of my goal on how to try and coordinate, get everybody to work together and see where it's at, because a little bit of my background, I grew up in Glendive, Montana. Spent my life pretty much there up until about 26. Got my undergraduate degree, University of Montana, Missoula, and worked 3 years in Sydney, Montana as a CPA. So I'm a certified public accountant in Montana. We moved down to Albuquerque for 5 years. My wife and I met in Sydney and we wanted a little bit of an adventure. And so we went off to Albuquerque, and quite honestly, we found it to be a little bit more of an adventure than what we had bargained for. And going from a community of about 3,000 to 500,000 was interesting. And first two children we had down there, moved back to Montana. And I spent the next 23 years in Shelby, Montana. I had my own accounting practice in Albuquerque, worked out of my house. I thought that's the best way to kind of keep it efficient and maximize my dollars. And then I got a job as a chief financial officer, Marias Medical Center. At the time, it was Toole County Hospital and Nursing Home. And spent the next 23 years, 11 of which was the chief financial officer, the next 12 was chief executive officer. So in those 23 years of being in administration, there's a lot of experience and exposure that I had the joy of going through. A lot of successes, a lot of challenges, some failures along the way, but a lot of good experience on that. And so my reason for the county commissioners bringing me here is primarily because of that experience. The hospital was owned by the county commissioners in Toole County. We had a hospital board. It wasn't a hospital district board, but it was a hospital board that was created by the county commissioners to run the health care board. We started out with a nursing home hospital, and physician clinics were across town and competitive with the hospital. We negotiated with the physician clinic to come underneath a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. And the commissioners formed, actually it was a clinic board that was separate that was formed to run the physician clinic. The county commissioners formed a separate board to run the hospital, as I've mentioned. And so we had a hospital, and we had several dilapidated buildings around town that were being utilized or just being abandoned. One was primarily an old hospital, and it was a point of contention within the community. There is a group that wanted it tore down. There's a group that wanted it preserved because of history and the pride the community had. So we converted that into assisted living facility, maintained a nursing home through that process up until the day I left. I was always in favor and supportive of our nursing home. Worked very hard to make it function and work well. Excuse me. We also had an ambulance service that was volunteer. And so all those things bring into, you know, why am I here? What is my goals? And primarily my experience with that model really ties in and dovetails with your model here. And some of the challenges that you're having is a result of, you know, just the healthcare industry. You're not separate and apart from it, but certainly everybody is concerned about, you know, how do we maintain a healthcare delivery system and preserve our systems both in the north and south end of our communities in Sebleck County. And so we also, through the clinic board, we did outreach clinics both in Valier as well as Sunburst, which is about 35, 36 miles in distance on those type of clinics. So we did a lot of outreach, and rather than shutting down and stopping services, we tried to outreach and get those smaller communities to join up and work with us. And so those are all things that my experience brings to the table. So the first question, goal of meeting, is this, is to maintain healthcare in your community. Okay. Let's keep our goals simple and stay focused on them. The second goal is how do we reach critical access model? Okay. And underneath those two goals, we're going to find out how each of us are players in it. And what I'll try to do as a facilitator is facilitate common goals, trying to put us together, work together as a team. What I'll try and avoid is finger pointing and trying to put blame on other people why things aren't moving forward. So that's how I'll manage it. That's how I'll go with it. The county commissioners have hired me. They reached out to me and asked me to come down and see what I could do, and we'll see what I can do, okay? And I'm not saying I'm going to come in and wave a magic wand and make it work for everybody. I can tell you I've been through it too much to know that there's some consternation, there's some real gut checks, but the important thing is that we have to work together. And top to bottom, we have to work together. Otherwise, you're going to tear it apart. So that's not a good way to go. And I've been through that, I can tell you that. So my sense of humor is a little bit wry sometimes, so just take it with a grain of salt, as we say. Equitable representation assurance, that's another question. And I had to ask, well, Laura, what do you mean by this? And but basically, my representation is going to be my experience. My goal is to try and give you recommendations, what's going to work, what won't work, what's going to be a gamble. And when I say gamble, that means, you know, if we're going to stay together as players in this, that's the best way to make a positive outcome. If we're going to be blaming and going after each other and trying to shift blame or be in a power struggle, that's a great way to tear it apart. It's pretty simple. Okay? Small communities are that way. And so stay together. All right, what can the public see a copy of Mark's contract? Well, you know, that's something I want to hide from everybody. I don't want anybody to ever see that. My wry sense of humor. Public record, got Mary for it.
It's
she
right
can,
here.
She can give it to you.
It's been right you. Here. You just have to ask me for it.
Yeah.
It's public
it's
record.
Nothing to hide. It's public record. Pretty straightforward, pretty straight simple. It's probably less than a 30-day contract, but if I'm not performing up to satisfactions or I'm causing a lot more problems, let me know. We're done. Okay. That's as simple as I want to keep it. I have a flat hourly rate. If people are calling me at my house, I have to pull out my tax practice, and I have to answer those questions, so I bill that rate. I put it up high a little bit intentionally because I know what rates are in the healthcare industry. And I know what energy it takes to run a facility and also answer those questions. So it's a resource that I don't want abused for me as well as for the county commissioners and the others. And so if I'm going to get a lot of questions about stuff that's already been answered 10 times over and it's just my opinion on it and I'm still billing, I'm going to get paid for that. My time's not going to be wasted, okay? And the price is going to be paid. And it's already been a leveling factor from what I've seen. Is that, you know, we're going to try and streamline some of the communications so the expenses on my part don't get out of control. I'm good with that, okay? And I think the county commissioners are also good with that, so, okay? But I am going to bill, and I am going to try and give you the best that I can. The 23 years of experience has given me, and I'm going to share that with you, with the goal of trying to get us a functional healthcare delivery system, okay? And we'll try that to do that in an efficient, effective manner. All right. So, what are my goals? Well, or what, you know, what are my goals? I think I've just outlined them to you. Okay. And I'll be working with current administration, the county commissioners, trying to get that done. I've worked a little bit with Linda, and she's been cooperative and very helpful, as well as some of Laura's questions and emails, as well as the county commissioners. So I'm getting a lot of information and trying to assess it all on it and see what direction we're going to go. And the reason why I'm starting this meeting now, I'm trying to address some of the questions so that they aren't distractions during our planning process, okay? So that's why I'm trying to address this up front. And I think you'll find that I'm pretty, very much live by the rule of thumb, honest and open, okay? Truthful. All right? So what role does a sublet center play? I thought Mark was going to work with them separately. I've already met with all the boards separately the first time around. That doesn't mean I'm going to be here on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to set out my goals. I'm going to tell them my positions on that. I'm not going to change from that. I think the sublet center is very critical. I've expressed that to them. I express the importance that they stay involved with it. So I'm glad to see the board members are here, and they've taken me seriously. Okay, so your roles are very important. Everybody's roles here is very important. Okay, so you have to be players in it. There's going to be stuff that we don't want to look at inside ourselves or within our organizations, but we want to look outside and pass the blame on. That's human nature. We want to avoid that. We want to be able to do the best we can in delivering the healthcare system. And I believe, Dave, you've been called back to help work with the sublet center and help them get on track. And I think that's a good thing. So, you know, time and time, these things are cyclical. They go up, they have successes, everybody thinks it's going to stay successful forever, and then they have downturns. And it's just the nature of the beast, okay? So both of the nursing home, clinics, hospitals, it's just the cyclical flow of healthcare industry, as well as a lot of other industries too. So there are several people that have indicated that they feel Burnett has conflict of interest. He is currently employed by all entities at the table. I have shared that the county attorney should be making that decision. Actually, I think you know, everybody in this room probably has some sort of conflict of interest, probably has some type of agenda, and I think it's going to be critical that everybody stays at the table and expresses that. You know, Dr. Burnett has spent his life as a doctor. He's going to have an interest in it. Why wouldn't you want him telling him your interest? If you go out and do a plan and it's totally contrary to where medical staff is going to want to be your support, you're going to be doing really dumb decision making. So know that he is a doctor. He is going to be a passionate person towards medical stuff as well as nurses. And so take it with a grain of salt. Know that he's going to make his point, accept that point, and move forward. So. And he has resigned from the clinic board, I guess, not the board, but as a physician, and probably more towards retirement, that type of thing. But, you know, the county commissioners, they have a conflict of interest. They own the buildings. And the board has a conflict of interest because they want to go to critical access. And they either want the buildings to go with them and have say over the construction, or they're willing to bite the bullet and go out and try and do modular building out there in the field somewhere. So there's a conflict of interest. So if we want to go through and find out all the conflict of interest, we should end the meeting about right now and just say we're not going to get anything done today. So all in favor of that one? Okay. All right. Just be aware. Everybody has an issue to be here because you're passionate about it and you want to see things change. Okay? Just be aware of it. That's part of the deal. That's why you're here. And that's why it's important that you stay engaged and involved in this process. Okay? All right. So, what will be the process with Mark Cross? Look like I didn't bring my reading glasses. So when I get up and I get a little nervous, my eyes get dry so I don't see as clearly. What will the process with Mark Cross look like? He gives us a bit and we work on it, question mark. Will all discussions, communications go through Andy? Well, I think the chairs have to be willing to be open and communicate with each other. So the chair of commissioners, as well as chair of the hospital board, the healthcare board, as well as the nursing home board, should be your primary chains of communications. That way it keeps it from board to board on it. And when we have these group meetings, I facilitate those group meetings and we try and work towards that goal. Okay. So again, our goal is how do we become critical access? And the reason why I want to go critical access isn't because we think it's, maybe I should rephrase that. It's a reimbursement model that'll benefit us going that direction, okay? And really, critical access is a reimbursement model. And I'll just give you a quick explanation of what that is. Critical access was developed in Montana, and it comes down to a basic understanding that communities with a high percentage of Medicare population have a right to some type of healthcare delivery system. And so if you have a high percentage but low volume people coming to your hospital that are Medicare. Now, and I don't mean that's suddenly their numbers are much lower. It means that your population is lower compared to across the United States. We're not a metropolitan area. We're not a million people plus population. So critical access was a model designed for people that have high percentage of Medicare people that need healthcare delivery systems within their community, but it's actually a low volume utilization in that community. In other words, you don't have 10,000 patients walking through your door every day. You might have 100 on a busy day. In New York, it would never work on 100 because they're a fee for service, okay? In critical access, it's cost reimbursed. In other words, your cost of operations to provide those services are divided by the type of services you provided, the modalities of it, the units, okay, the number of days in the hospital, that type of thing. That's the difference between the reimbursement model. It is a reimbursement model only. It doesn't say that, you are a hospital, you are a designation, but it's a reimbursement model. It's a reimbursement formula. And this is why rural medicine is going to that, because this is the only real model that rural communities can survive on, a small hospital. So those are the things that we're working on, communications we're talking about, okay? So now we kind of get into some of the meat to the area on it, and so we're going to talk about some of these questions, and what I want you to do is listen to what I have to say first, and then we'll start working towards goals and that type of thing. Some of the concerns of the commissioners, they've expressed them to me on different areas, and I've expressed to them that as a CEO of 12 years and a CFO of 11 years, 23 years of experience, some of their concerns are operational issues, okay? It's not their business to get into operational issues. That's the hospital board to do that, and administration to get into that stuff, okay? But their concerns are the percentages of, in the industry, there are what we call tubes of expenses, okay? And the tubes are basically certain percentages across the industry. If you're within that tube, just think of it as a solid pipe. If you're in within that tube on your expenses, you're going to survive fine compared across the United States or within rural medicine, across Wyoming and Montana. That's how you make your formula work on a critical access. Their concerns are, the expenses, how much more expenses are being involved compared to other facilities across Montana and Wyoming, and being way outside those tubes of expenses. Like, for example, just a quick example, if your payroll and benefits should be about 50 to 60% of your gross revenue, okay, that you're generating. And if you're outside those tubes, you're going to have a problem making everything else work, because that tube is sucking up more of your resources to make your operations run fairly. The answer isn't to get more money out of the county commissioners, because that's their concern. They're elected to represent the whole county, north and south, east and west. They got other budgets they have to worry about, and as Mac was pointing me out this morning, there's other big hearings in their budget that they have to ask questions on. you know, why are they number 17 on transportation costs or revenues, and why are they number one on spending dollars on those transportation costs? So they have more than one thing to deal with. And it's over time that they're going to have to look at a lot of this stuff and kind of figure this out. So this is one element of it. So the reason why I give that example of it is healthcare is always affects everybody. It's not that they are just picking on you because it's healthcare. It's because it's one item on their agenda that they have to look at and manage as county commissioners. Okay. So when they bring up the cost factor, you as a board and administration need to be looking at how are we compared to not just the ones that we want to select and make us feel good that we're really not too far out, but on an average or industrial average within those expenses. And how do we get into them if we're way out of whack on them? And, you know, that's an internal control issue, that's a board issue, it's not a county commissioner issue, okay? But when the only answer they think is, well, just open the checkbook and give some more money, that's going to be their responsibility to the public monies, that they're held to a higher standard. They're going to have to say, oh, wait a minute, here's some concerns we have. How are you going to address them? Okay. So that's their concerns, and that's the board's concerns, how are they going to address them. It's really something that the board is going to have to look at, just like the county commissioners are going to have to look at other issues on their budgets too. Okay. So as revenues are constricting within the state of Wyoming, which they have been doing over the last 2 or 3 years, the answers are going to have to be, how do we manage with resources that we do have in our county and can reasonably expect to be there and stay within those industrial standards on it. Okay. So that's something internal, Laura, and your board are going to have to look at and really strive for, and it has to be a convincing way the commissioners can see positive results. But that is an internal operational issue the board has to manage and show. County commissioners can simply ask the questions, and so some of those questions might be asked today. Don't take personal offense to them. Take them as opportunities to improve your healthcare delivery system. Okay. And my experience is that sometimes it's good that other people point out those problems because they're painfully obvious to me, and you're just thinking, maybe I just really don't see it right. And everybody else around is seeing the same thing. It kind of tells you, okay, we got to look at this and how we're going to address it. And how do our wages and salaries stack up with other people, same positions, that type of thing. How do we address it? So those sort of things that I'm happy to help with, give you some advice and that type of thing, if it's asked for. I'm not going to force it. Okay. Concerns about the commissioners are also one that I pointed out to them, and I think is a big issue. It's about the construction, and Laura has also expressed this already before even the meeting started. Who's going to be in charge of the construction? Who's going to have the final say? How is this going to be handled? And I think that's something we have to discuss today. Just some things that I want to point out with the group here. The healthcare board is in county facilities owned by the county. So that in itself creates an issue of discussion that we have to address. The state of Wyoming has the plan in front of them. They're waiting for what is this community going to say? Are we going to move forward? Are we going to continue to banter this around and really not get anything done? They aren't going to do anything until they get a clear message from the community here. And you can understand why. Everything they do is going to be a wasted effort until they get clear direction from this community. Okay? So that's why I'm saying you've got to stay together if you want this thing to move off of, really get to first plate on it. So that's what we have to be focused on. Okay? The thing that I see with the county owning the buildings, which I dealt with for 23 years, so it's not anything new in my category. I'm not taking sides. I'm speaking from personal experience of 23 years. The county owns the buildings, okay? Major construction on those buildings is the responsibility of the county commissioners, all right? If they give the authority to a board to construct on their assets and there's a lawsuit afterwards, they'll start with the board, but they're going to certainly name the county commissioners in any lawsuits for any damages, okay? So you have to take this into consideration on who's in charge, who's on first, who's on second, who's on third. And you can see the game, if you ever saw that skip, it can get to be a real mess, and you want to avoid that, okay? My recommendation is that the county commissioners have to give the final approval on who's going to do the construction remodel on those buildings, because it's an asset, not of the county commissioners, but every person in this country, okay? It's every one of our responsibilities and ownership of those buildings. And when somebody comes to sue the visit, the best thing they want to do is catch the government, the county commissioners, to sue them because they got the deep pockets. So you can imagine the fun an attorney would have going to the board and saying, okay, you have the authority in this, but you own the buildings. So didn't you have any say on this construction? And you can just see the game that gets played, and that just increases any settlements coming out of it. Now, that may be a dramatic or drama thing that played out to you, but in a situation like this, you want to keep it as straightforward as possible. So my recommendation, and we can discuss this later on today, is that the county commissioners have the responsibility and the authority left in their lap to make the final decision. Because in the end, that's where legally it ends up. And the buck's going to stop there, whether they wanted to or not. Okay? I think the health care board has to provide the plans because they're the ones with the intelligence and the background and the knowledge of what's needed at that building. So the role of the board is to communicate with the commissioners. Here's our plan. This is our recommendation. This is why we're doing what we're doing. And we need you to give us the approval. And I think there's also about a $2.5 million request from that healthcare board, because that's the additional dollars that they want the county to spend on their buildings to get them to that level, so they can move forward with this critical access selection. Okay? So that's a recommendation that I have there. Okay? And so that's how I think the commissioners are always going to be involved in this. And they are the ones with the, if you want to call, the deep pockets. It's the way it is. It's a fact. It's not an opinion. It is a fact. And I'd recommend that these are representations of your community. They aren't individuals to attack or separate. They're acting as a board, a representation of the whole community. So the interest that they're trying to protect isn't just the healthcare board, but it's all the delivery system. It's all the county of Sublette County. Okay? You can stand up and say, well, I disagree with you on this. Here's a different perspective. And that'll only help them make better decisions that way. And that's how our government works. That's how it works locally. So, all right. Depersonalize it. Because our goal is to take care of our healthcare delivery system. Okay? Does the county envision a role of itself in oversight of the clinic or hospital? I would answer that in one word. Depends. Okay.
Have you run for office before?
and this is what I mean. Okay. If in the end the board decides that there's no cooperation and they can't make anything work and they block out, we're going to do our own thing. You're sending a message to the county commissioners that they're going to have a role in it one way or another, and you may not like the role, but they own the buildings and they'll have to make decisions down the road that may not be in the best interest of the health care board's delivery system. You want to avoid that at all costs. Okay? It's not about them and us. It's about us together as a community. Okay? What steps could the health care district board clinic take that would most facilitate the process? Okay? Real short and simple. Work together. Okay? Would the county be willing to assist the health district financially with any shortfall that may occur between now and the building of the hospital so that services would remain intact? And this is another one that says, is the word depends on it, okay? If the hospital board, and I worked with hospital boards and the clinic boards for 23 years, and it's a gut-wrenching process at times. It's great when it goes well. And this is where it depends comes in. If the boards are doing their responsibility and managing the resources given to them, and they can show that, not picking and choosing where they fall in and out of industrial standards, but if they're in consistency with industrial standards within their margins on that, I think the commissioners are very open to listening to that. But if the only answer is just give us more money, and somewhere along the line, it's like, you know, if your finances, personal finances, you're not managing right, and you're going out and getting more credit cards, and your answer is, I just need a few more credit cards and I'm going to be just fine. You know as well as I do, it doesn't work. You can't do that personally. You're not going to be able to do it on a much larger scale. It might be a little bit longer time you can do that, but in the end, it's going to come back and bite you. It'll bite you big time. So the responsibility of the healthcare board is to manage those resources given to them, and I think the county commissioners feel very strongly about that, and that's where their hesitation is going to be at. They know they have a lot of money that they're responsible for. They have a large budget. But at the same time, they also have the responsibility to manage those assets for the whole community. You have to take that into consideration. You just have to. There's no two ways around that. So they're going to be speaking from their responsibility to the healthcare board. Now, the healthcare board has taken on the challenge of keeping the delivery system going in this community. And that's a difficult challenge. It is. No two ways around it. You got a lot of passion, a lot of people involved with it, and emotions get pretty intense, and I know that. So, but the important thing is to work together and continue that, okay? So, so where do we want to go from here? Okay, those are the top 11 questions. The rest are kind of notes after that. And I said I'd give this back to Laura when I was done answering those questions, and I think I'm done answering those. So, where do we want to go from here? Okay. Let me give you some input on my standing on it. I think that, one, the healthcare board wants to get this critical access going forward. Some of my perceptions are they're not quite sure how to take that responsibility on because there's a lot of concerns with the sublet center, the nursing home, how that would affect them and their residents there. How would they do it financially when they're being challenged financially right now in their current situation? And how do they get the money together to build a facility that's going to meet the standards of Medicare and Medicaid and get that critical access model in place? And hopefully get the reimbursement flowing to your community to keep your healthcare delivery system on the map and going forward, not having to keep shrinking it down and shrinking it down. Okay? That's kind of how I see it. Am I missing anything? And the nursing home is here because they're concerned about their interests and how to affect it. And it comes back to working together. And I think I've expressed some concerns and issues with your director. And I think that the nursing home is very critical in this process. There's some concerns about, you know, Ike Bailey said a home office structure, and I've had that type of thing where all, everything comes under one roof and that type of stuff. Honestly, in a critical access model, and I struggled with it for 23 years, the nursing home is a very good service that's provided to the community, and it's a very necessary service. It should always remain at some level within the community. Depends on which type of shell you're working underneath, but under a home office, the problem with it will be this, and it's strictly financial. You will have a lot of square footage in the nursing home. In a critical access model reimbursement system, a lot of the overhead, administrative, utilities, phones, you name it, that's overhead that they Medicare defines and the game that Medicare is, drive them into non-reimbursable cost centers. The nursing home is considered a non-reimbursable cost center, and so having much more square footage in your building is going to be a greater denominator on your ratio of allocating costs. So you're going to be sucking up a lot of costs into the nursing home, into what's called a non-reimbursable cost center. Now let me explain what that means. A non-reimbursable cost center is that you're a fee-for-service business. For every day you have somebody in the nursing home, you get reimbursed from Medicare and Medicaid a certain dollar amount. That's a flat fee per day. So if you decide to staff your nursing home, patient-to-patient one-on-one, and you have utilities there, you have, you know, top of the line, they're still going to pay you probably $200 to $250 a day. If you're spending $450 a day, they aren't going to care. They're only going to pay you $250 a day. You manage that. You figure out how to make it work, okay? So if they're drawing this reimbursable cost out of the hospital through administration, dumping it over in the nursing home, they're saying, that's a great deal for us. You guys figure out how to manage it. And over here, we're going to reimburse you less because more of your ratio is being drawn over the nursing home and less in the hospital. So that's one thing that I want to point out, just a second, in the reimbursement model with critical access on that, okay? And that's why as a critical access model, I'll probably be recommending that you stay independent. You've already expressed that. And you've got the guy in place there to kind of make that work, and I think that's good. And I also think that it's very critical that there's some things you can do within the nursing home. We won't address those today to make it work better for you. And you're already on top of some of those things, too. And so I was glad when I walked through the nursing home with some of the plans and changes you were considering. And so I think those are some things that I just want to call up front on. You had a question, Dave?
I just wanted to mention that the home office model keeps the cost reports separate so that the bleed over that you're talking about doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's why we went down that road, is to make sure that the nursing home cost report does not affect the CAH cost report.
Okay. And from my experience on the home office, they do allocate. You might have a separate cost report, but they still allocate the cost to those specific cost reports. So it does get done. It just is not upfront. I may be wrong on that, and I'm happy to say I'm wrong on that, but it's better to be cautious and move slowly rather than make a quick decision than have to live with it. Okay. So, and that's 23 years of having to work with a nursing home. Very passionate about it, taking care of the elderly, that type of thing, but it was very unjust how they reimbursed the nursing homes. Very unjust. Okay. That's my opinion. And so what I want to do is maximize as much money as I can on the critical access and support the nursing home and get them as much money as they can too. Okay. That's where our whole team working together is working against a system that knows how to play the ratio games and how to get dollars back in their pocket or stay in their pocket and make you make the tough decisions on what will be given and what won't be given for healthcare service deliveries. Okay? Mark? Yes?
You mentioned tubes of expenses. Have you asked for or have you received any financial information to begin to assess that area or those areas?
Well, the financial information that I have received is what Ike Bailey put together on it. Current operations on that, I've asked for them once. I have not received anything on that. I'm sure Lorraine knew I was very passionate about that. When I looked at it, she would have gave that to me. I've avoided that because I don't want the old CPA to come out and start auditing and looking at that stuff and getting into areas of management. My hiring did not put me in that position to ask those questions. My hiring is to try and get the critical access model moving forward. If that is a desire of the board to help Lorraine and Linda go that direction, look at some of those things, that's down the line. But I have not seen the financials, and I don't know the financial condition of the clinic. I just know they got a big project in front of them, and that's the big issue. That's the elephant in the living room we need to deal with, and how do you deal with an elephant in the living room one bite at a time? So it's a big project. And so I think the financials are issues. I think the industrial standards and costs in those tubes that I've mentioned are definitely an issue. I don't think it's going to be solvable today. I think it's something we have to look at because of the history of the amount of money that's been available to spend. And I think the county commissioners are discovering that with transportation and the costs of dollars spent on maintaining the roads versus being how many roads they compare to the rest of the state. So what I'm saying is that it isn't a herring out there, just a health care. It's across the board within the county that they have to look at different things and solve different problems with it. So those issues with the tubes, industrial tubes and expenses, are a huge issue and will be important to address on it. I think going critical access will alleviate some of that, and you will pick up some revenues. The justifications, and I expressed this to Dr. Burnett the first time I looked at the Bailey report, is how in the world can they say Medicare percentage is going from almost doubling with what you're managing in your clinics to what the critical access is. And the reason why I bring that up, that's where you're expecting the majority of your money to come from, is Medicare, you know, in that reimbursement system, Medicare and Medicaid and the critical access model. How can they show a near doubling of those percentages and not have any demographics change? And that's a very valid question. I can say under the assumption report, you know, they say, well, things can be different for projection, and you know, we all know the acronym CYA, and I think that's how the accountants do that, is that it could be different than what you project in the end. But what could happen and could support that model, doubling Medicare patients, is the utilization factor, which you may have, and Melinda's been working on this, on getting a CPT codes of the top 25 DRGs within the state of Wyoming, where they could go and how they could fit into our critical access model here. You could pick up more percentage of Medicare patients simply because you have a hospital that is treating nursing home residents rather than sending them up to Jackson. They're being kept here in the community. This is where the model will work very well for the nursing home as well as a hospital. Rather than taking your patients from the nursing home and shipping them off to Jackson, and of course, you don't have anybody that doesn't need any pneumonia or flu or anything like that from the nursing home. I'm being facetious here. You do have that, but just think what an elderly person has to go through, being shipped up in an ambulance 90 miles away to really a foreign country. You know, they don't have any family there, they don't have any friends. The people that come and see them are not familiar faces. If you have them in town here, you can go across town and you can see them and take care of them and get them back to the rest sooner, simply because they're local and they know the people that they're seeing. That's the benefit of having a hospital here in your community. It will feed back into your nursing home on many different levels. It'll also support the hospital here in your modalities of lab and x-ray and nursing home beds. Critical access has what's called swing bed status, or it's basically a more intense, and you have them at the nursing home, but there are certain levels that probably take more care than what the nursing staff can handle, and that's what the critical access hospital can do. And you have up to 100 days under that designation, and transferring from there to your Med A beds when you can handle that type of patient or to your benefit. Whereas up in Jackson, they'll just keep in the full 100 days if they can. And then sometimes, you know, my experience is that you'll get people discharged out of a DRG system quicker than they should because they've maxed out their days and their dollars are going to get for it, and they're going to dump that patient back on you. And that's a pretty rough way to treat a human being. So, okay. And did we... Okay, so let's come back to this. What do we need to do to get this critical access model off the ground? Okay. Laura, I'm going to ask you, what do you think is needed by the board? It's at the state. What type of approval do you need from the county commissioners?
We should send out RFPs. Mostly just green light, get going. And then completely outline very clearly. Do we decide who the RFP is, or who the architect is? Who decides that bottom line? Of course, kind of address that. We do have a building committee who has comprised of several very, very qualified community members, not employees, not board members. Some of them, I think, might be town council members on either end. I'm not sure.
Can we give her a mic, please?
Very, very qualified people who have already investigated architects, talked to the local entities who have already done buildings, such as the senior center in Marbleton, the theater in Marbleton, those kind of things. So we've gathered a lot of information from local entities and utilized local knowledgeable persons. So they have really good information. All we need is go ahead for that.
Why don't you hand that one back? We'll get the batteries changed. Batteries.
You're in the cover.
Keeps going green, yellow. Now, somebody has neater handwriting. I would say that. So anyways, RFP gives them the go-ahead. Now remember, I just want to say there are, the county commissioners can't make decisions today. In order for them to make decisions legally, they have to post an agenda and tell you what that agenda is, and then they can do that. Now, what I would recommend on this situation, okay, is that you maintain your board, your construction board, we'll just CONST abbreviation and BD for board. Okay. And I would recommend the county commissioners to do this at their next board meeting. And you're probably going to need to get some approval on the additional monies that you're needing. Okay. And considering the economic environment stuff, interest rates are going to be going up. And so it wouldn't be prudent for the healthcare board if you can get the county to contribute money towards this project to exhaust all efforts on that first. Okay. So one thing I'd recommend, and we've already submitted those requests to the board, but there's some things that I've kind of come across with the differences in ownership or property and thinking about this. So what I would recommend in this is that the RFP, the county commissioners, and we'll just abbreviate them as CC, okay, they're going to consider, and I'm not going to say anything but consider, the request, I think it's $2.5 million for this project. Okay? And they're also going to be asked to move forward on this RFP. And that's kind of the sticking point for the county commissioners, as well as the $2.5 million. Okay? And so those are things the commissioners are going to have to consider, is the approval for the RFP. Okay, and based upon that RFP, my concern would be this, okay? They own the buildings, and the question is, who's on first? Okay, who's going to make that final decision? And I've already expressed my opinion personally to them on the side, and in this meeting I've expressed it. They're going to have the final say on what project goes forward with their buildings, okay? And so my recommendation is that they say, okay, construction board, you got the go-ahead to gather the RFPs. Okay, we're going to have, and I've recommended to them, and they haven't said one way or another, I've recommended that there is a push for a design to build process, which your RFP, I think, includes. There's also using the previous architect through a traditional method. That should also be included in that. That's my personal opinion on that. I think that the RFP should go out with two separate models for them to gather together. And then what I would recommend is that that board gathers those RFPs and presents them to the county commissioners, not excluding anybody, but have it all laid out in front of the commissioners for them to take some time and assess and evaluate and get those going. Okay, so that's the process, and they have the final say in what RFP is going to go forward, because in the end, it's their buildings that are going to have to be changed and modified to meet your needs in the critical access hospital, okay?
The design build, and what was the other one called, Mark?
I just say the traditional method.
Construction manager and rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, you know, and the concerns that I have, and I've talked with the architect that has designed the building, and I got that information from Melinda, is this, that if you go to the design, construct type of thing, there may be things that are missed because they aren't the same people who were on the building before. Or, you know, there's just a lot of variations in it that you're going to have to be concerned about. And I think it isn't about them against us. It isn't about the commissioners against the healthcare board. It's about what's the best thing for the healthcare delivery system in your community. And the best thing is to get the RFPs in place and allow them to make the evaluations and make a final decision. And then don't get into, I want this one because of this, or I want this one. Follow their recommendation. They're the ones in the end who are going to get sued and have to be accountable for any damages done. Okay?
We have a list of like 5 to 7.
5 to 7 what?
Well, the committee, after...
Yes.
The committee, after examining everything and utilizing the experience and knowledge of the members of that committee, recommended to the healthcare district board that we use a design build concept. And like I said, they came to that conclusion based on conversations with community, track records, history with builds in the area, those outside of our county, Star Valley being one of them. And they came up with five to seven different architects that would do that with the design build concept. So we have those already.
So what I would say on that, I would not exclude the other traditional methodology. And I would say if the merits are really true, they can present to the county commissioners their positions on it and why to consider one over the other before they make their decision. And once the county commissioners have that knowledge and make a better decision based upon that knowledge, there is an argument that goes forward past it. Once they make the decision on who's going to be awarded it, that construction's in place and going. That's what I'd recommend. You have to have the respect for the different levels of authority on what goes forward. Remember, this is their buildings, their responsibility. When I say there, it's the whole community's building. So we want the best for our community that we can get for the most affordable cost of it. Okay. So if there are merits to that, it should prove out in the RFP process. But if you're only going RFP for design to construct, you're not going to really know if there's going to be a comparison between traditional versus design to construct.
I understand that. My point was that committee has already gone through that process, and that's why they came to the conclusion they did.
Okay.
That was my only point.
Okay.
So I think our next thing that we need to tackle is we need to set some goal dates so that we stay on track, and this is something that the county commissioner board has talked about in the past meetings as well, is setting some dates.
Okay. So are you saying that you're not going to look at the traditional type RFP construction?
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
No.
That's not what you're saying, or you're not going to look at?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
And the reason why I said that, Laura, that's because it sounded like, and I'll be the bad guy in this, so that's okay, because I can leave town. I'll be the bad guy. It sounded like you're telling them, we already made up our minds on it. We already know which way we're going. We're not even considered. And I know that wasn't your point.
My point was they've done the investigating. They've done the groundwork.
Okay, so in an RFP process, if you do the construct to build and an RFP request for the traditional, you should be able to see those merits.
They can bring all that information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bid construction bids itself. Mm-hmm. And what I'd recommend is that all bids are laid on the table for the commissioners so they can see from design to construct methodologies and traditional methodologies and make their decision based on that.
Right.
With the input from your construction board.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a wise decision.
Yes.
Okay.
And if I'm understanding you correctly, Mark, Dr. Green, with what your diagram and right there.
He's a doctor.
With respect to what our business is, or what we have to consider with the RFP, the Board of County Commissioners still has to meet and discuss whether we want to go with design to build process or a more traditional model. Is that correct? So even though they've made their decision, we still have to make ours in moving forward.
And you need that information.
Yes, right. Yes. And my point is simply this. If the RFPs come in and the design to construct is really that meritorious over the traditional, it's going to prove out to the bids, okay? But you don't want to exclude that factor when you're making that decision. You want to be able to say that, because what will happen down the road is somebody will ask, well, you went this way, did you consider the other?
Right.
And if you say, no, well, we just knew it was the right way to go. Well, how'd you know that? Well, we just took their advice. Well, what was their basis, you know? And if there's somebody who benefits from that contract election, you're going to immediately have a bias within that selection process. You want to avoid that. You want everybody to have a fair chance at bidding this out, especially in your community, because there may be people who want to give a good deal for the healthcare for the benefit of the healthcare delivery system, because they're going to need it someday. Okay? Something to consider. They'll bend over backwards for you. You know, but the important thing is you get all RFPs. No matter which way they're saying to build it, these guys, these people, not guys, that's kind of I'm a little bit older, I guess. These people can make a good decision on that with input of the construction board and their recommendations and the RFPs placed in front of them. And the merits that they are saying are beneficial for design to construct will prove out in that RFP process. Let them prove it out. And then there's no debate afterwards. Well, you could have got a better deal had you done this, or you could have. There's going to be no debate on it. There'll probably always be some debate on it, but it's a lot less if you give everybody a fair shot at it. And that's the important thing in government, is that everybody in the community has a fair shot at a product, that you aren't excluding somebody or including somebody simply because you know them or they're linked in properly. Okay? And that's what the commissioners have to avoid at all costs, too. Okay?
Mark?
Yes, sir.
Just open to. I'll talk loud enough.
I'm facilitating. No, you got to use that. If you can't, then you're not going to be talking.
Is the project total?
Ben, just identify yourself, if you would, please.
Ben Jenkins with the town of Big Pine. Is the project total $2.5 million, or is that just from the county commissioners?
It's much more than $2.5 million. I think $2.5 million in some degrees is. If that was all it was, I don't think it'd be an issue. But it looks like it's going to be about 14 to 18 million in the end, based upon the projections. 10 million spent down between the next 3 years on it, and an additional 4 million being borrowed, the 2.5 from the county. Is that correct on it, Melinda?
The actual total project cost is coming in at 6 million, then 4 million for bricks and mortar, and then 2 million for architectural.
Did you want to answer that? So I was completely wrong on my total on that, but I was just looking at. But this in a way is what we have to look at. On the financial projections, you go from 14 million in resources down to about 2 million in resources, and so you're spending money on brick and mortar, but you're also spending money on resources, keeping the facilities going and going forward. So you're gonna feel the pinch, and it's not just gonna be brick and mortar in this process. You're gonna feel a pinch in operations, juggling schedules between different facilities and managing that money, and it's going to draw on your resources, and that's why you have to work together in the process. So when I say 14 million, I'm not just saying bricks and mortar. What I'm saying is, you know, to get through this really drought period of time, you're going to have to spend all your money wisely, and the projections do show your revenues dropping significantly from about $14 million down to about $2.5 million in cash. So that's a significant drop in your resources. And the majority of that money is going to go towards brick and mortar, about 50 to 60% of it. But the rest of it is going to be getting through that drought, that period of time where you have to go 365 days or whatever we can narrow it down to. We might be able to do it in 6 months to get the critical access designation. So, what do you want to add to that? So it's about a $6 to $7 million project, and that's based on 2-year-old numbers. So I would expect it's going to go up from there.
So what's the 2.5 million?
Yeah, so 2 million So currently, and Laura, you can jump in, up at $6 million, $2 million is coming from the Rural Healthcare District reserves, 1.5 from the Town of Pinedale and the Town of Big Piney commitments. Pinedale committed $1 million, Big Piney committed half, and then the 2.5 is that difference.
Thank you, Melinda. So that's important to have administration here and board chair to make sure I don't put too many red herrings out there. I try and keep my questions to minimal on what I'm saying and doing. But, you know, the financial projections you need to understand going through this process, construction time, disrupts your current delivery system, okay? And so there's going to be some financial challenges to get through that disruption, whether the construction's happening up here or down at Big Pine.
Mark?
Yes.
There's still some confusion about the total costs. And if I'm understanding you correctly, your estimation of 10 to 14 million includes the operating costs that we normally have to get us to that critical access hospital designation goal.
Yes, and that's what, if you look at the cash position on the projections I Bailey has, I don't have that here, but it shows it dropping from like 14 million down to 2.5 million. And that's what I'm saying. Your cash flow is going to get hit hard through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Six to seven million is probably going to be going to Harrisburg's and Border. The other is weathering the storm through the lower reimbursement system to get to the better reimbursement system of CAW.
All right, so just so it's really super clear, because the numbers that we have been giving the communities are a total budget of approximately $6 million. For construction and to get us through the surveys and yada yada. We did not include in that amount any operational costs that we currently have or will have to get to that point. Those costs we have kept separate.
Right. And so this is what I'm telling you on it. Based upon those projections, you're absolutely right. The cost of bricks and mortar is going to cost between six to eight million because this is 2-year-old numbers that we're going off of now. So I'm being cautious on that. 6 to 7 million right there, unless those are recently ones that I just told you about. Which I'm not an expert on that. I'm just from what I've been exposed to, you know, I'm just padding that a little bit, the reasonableness. As for operations, that's why I mentioned the industrial standards on that. You know, and that's why it has to be addressed by the board, the efficiency of operations and where the money's going at and what purpose are the monies being spent to generate revenue, or are they being spent for positions that are not generating revenue? The boards has to look at that. I mean, it just have to.
Sure.
And so that's where you can get into real troubles, is if you're not addressing the efficiency of operations through this process. And you're just kind of letting things slide by and not addressing the costs of operations and where those operations can be more efficiently run. You're going to be spending more money to keep the boat afloat, so to say. And so what you have to do is that industrial standards and looking at those efficiency of operations. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make. You're going to be spending $6 to $7 million on constructions,
mm-hmm.
and then your operational issues are going to suck up some of that cash because of the reimbursement model you're in and because of the operational issues that I'm sure you're aware of and also the county commissioners are bringing up, because I'm sure they're getting hit by the public by some of those issues too. And I think that the sublet center had also brought those issues up. And the reality is you can't rewind this and get that money back and spend it differently. It's water under the bridge, so to say. It's not coming back, but what you have to do is address the efficiency of the operations now, trying to maintain the current delivery systems and how to make them work better. And the people that I would say are critical on that is your administration. They're the ones that are there day to day, and they have to know what's going on in that and make those recommendations to the board. So, and I know they've had some efforts on future operations and how to make things run properly. And I would say that's not a subject of this meeting, but it is a sign that you are looking at that and trying to address those things. Okay?
Mark, could I speak?
Go
One of the things that has that I have had to do to make it clear to me is there are 16 critical access hospitals in the state of Wyoming. 10 of them are districts like the Sublette County Rural Healthcare District, but they have a CAW. In those districts, they're all assessed 3 mils, except for 2 of them. One is in Niobrara County and the other one is in Weston County. And they assess 6 mils. When you look at Johnson County, which is in Buffalo, their rural health care district gets $2,576,000 for the critical access hospital. That's through their assessed evaluation. They get a check twice a year, once in Mary, please.
November and May.
November and May, thank you. November and May. South Bighorn in Basin gets less than $1 million. Now, this is not counting revenues. This is just money that comes from the county to run, to begin, kind of sweeten the pot, so to speak. And these are all critical access hospitals. Sublette County does not have one, but we get $6,800,000. And this is where, as a county commissioner, when we go back to the questions, what are we concerned about? I'm concerned that we have 10 critical access hospitals in the state of Wyoming that are running. And I'm not sure if they're in the red or the black, but they're still, the doors are open. And we don't have one, but we have at sometimes 5 times the amount of money that they have before we ever consider our $3 million plus in revenues. So these are questions that I have as a county commissioner, solely by myself, before when we start talking about RFPs and we start talking, I don't understand. How can we be in such a financial problem when we don't even have a CAW? Now, I understand we're not getting the reimbursements, and it is a great idea, no question about it, but somebody's got to explain to me where that money's going to put us in such dire straits when we're getting that much right off the top before we're ever getting our reimbursements.
Okay, it's going to be an issue that keeps coming up, and so the question I have, is this going to cause a stall of the progress of going towards a critical access model? And my recommendation, probably to the county commissioners, is that this is a separate issue because it's been going on for a long period of time. But it's a question that needs to be answered. The critical access model, based upon projections and Dolly Bailey report and other performing issues of communities of this size and less that have transferred to critical access, the critical access model is very important to get that in place and done. Okay. The operational issues are operational issues, and they are issues that need to be addressed. And Laura, I can't emphasize that more to you. It's something that you're going to keep buttoned up against. I'd have to say the county has a very valid point. If you're getting $6 million in support and other facilities similar or lesser size or even maybe bigger are getting a lot less than that, what are the differences? I think that a big difference is that you're going to see revenues reverse. Money is going to be coming in more so in a critical access model, which should mean that, and based on their projections, they're showing the support going from 6 million to, I think, 3.5 million. And that's going to get you back into your industrial, into the standard processes other facilities. The role of county commissioners is going to be that you're going to have to stay on top of that and make sure that those things get into that position. The role of the healthcare board is to make sure that they manage the money that they are being given from the county, as well as the reimbursement coming in from seeing patients, is going to be managed properly and not overspent. And it's a tough job. It's not an easy job. And these two people right here are going to feel the majority of the pressure of managing that money. Lorraine?
My answer to Mac is you don't know what kind of revenue they're generating through their critical access hospital. That is what is keeping them going. And we don't have that right
correct.
Now.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct. I'm not disputing that any at all.
But to compare it
now. No, I'm just comparing the base amount of money. That's all. That's the only. You're dealing with an old shop teacher here, and all I can deal with is the information that I got from the state, and this is what each one of these hospitals are getting from their mill levies. Now, when it comes to revenues, the only revenue I know is what we get here, and we could get more with the critical access hospital, and I agree with that. What I'm saying is we don't have a critical access hospital, but we have, at some point, five times the amount of money to begin with, and we're broke.
Well, I'd be careful. They got $14 million in reserves, so I don't think they are broke.
We're not exactly broke.
But okay, now, this is where we got to get the emotions out of this discussion.
I agree.
And so what I'm going to recommend is that this is a future issue that has to be monitored and brought under control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also seeing some of this stuff going on with critical access models. You have to get to that model to prove their point,
mm-hmm.
which is a very valid one, mm-hmm. that you're going to get additional revenues. But until that time, if everything is going to stall out to make it absolutely clear that there's no risk and everything's going to be a reward, we're not going to get this job done. So I think it's very important to bring this up and make it well aware of, and we're going to document this, that this is an issue that's going to be a future issue. So what I'm going to do before you start talking, Laura, two things. First is this levy support, I'm going to put future issue. And this doesn't mean that it's 10 years down the road. I mean, this is after we get the approval for the critical access. This is a responsibility of the board that has to address and administration has to look at and get done and get within industrial standards. With the belief and support of the recommendation of the healthcare board saying that the critical access model is going to generate more monies because of administration's advice on this to alleviate the concern of this county commissioner and all these commissioners. Okay? We got to get to that point. Okay? My second item is, I think it's time for a bathroom break.
Thank you.
Thank you.